Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with a Professor, and it's great to catch up, as it is all the time, with Mark Slareth, who's doing great stuff now for Fox, and of course got the morning show in Denver, and of course that's at the sister station here from 710 ESPN Seattle. So Mark, first off, it's great to hear you on Fox. You sound like you're having a great time.
Oh, it's been such a blast. You know, I always wanted to have the opportunity to do NFL games. That was always kind of my dream, and you know, I mean, studio stuff is great, and being with ESPN for 16 years was awesome, but the opportunity to jump ship and to go call games was, you know, was something that I really wanted to do, and it's been fun. It's eye-opening. You know, I mean, it's eye-opening from the amount of work involved and the preparation and all those different things that go on. I'll tell you the other thing that's happened to me, Johnny, that's really interesting. I was talking to Les Snead. I did the Rams versus Jaguars this weekend. And, you know, you meet with all the players and you meet with the coaches and you talk to the teams and you're around the practice and you do all that stuff. And I think sometimes when you're in studio and you're away from it to some degree and you're just looking at the film, you tend to forget how hard it is. You tend to forget how hard it is to find wins, how hard it is to be good at this game. And I think that I have, right now, I've developed my empathy for how difficult this game is. You know, I'm talking to Blake Bortles, and, you know, it's easy to say Blake Bortles isn't very good. And he hasn't been very good. And it's easy to say that. But it's not from a lack of effort, and it's not from a lack of preparation, and it's not from a lack, like, you know, you could see how heavy it weighed on him. Some of the struggles that he's having, and he's completely retooled his mechanics, you know, and he's been in California with Tom House reworking his mechanics, a former major league pitcher who, you know, mentors and coaches a ton of quarterbacks in this league, like the Tom Brady's of the world. And my son's been to Tom House, and, you know, he's a throwing mechanics guru. And you see, you know, you talk about some of the injuries that nobody really knows about, that you suffer through. And so I think I've gotten just a good sense of kind of being empathetic to how hard this game is. And I think you can lose some of that, or I know I lost some of that being in studio all those years. So it's been nice to be on the field and around the game and with the coaches and with the players. And that's been fun for me.
Yeah, and of course, I know that we did this. Doing the sidelines has just been eye-opening for me because I just love it so much. And it was so great working with you on some of the games last year for ESPN Radio. And, you know, you see so many things that you never really realized that were going on. I mean, you get to follow the injuries closely. You get to see the reactions of different players on the field. And, of course, you get a vantage point on the field that I noticed that's just amazing. You know, I do the opposing team sidelines on the Seahawks games, and I learn more about a team just working the sidelines than anything I've done. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. And you do, you know, you develop those relationships, and there are so many things that you learn while you're doing that. You know, some things you can bring to the broadcast, or you can bring to your podcast or your radio show. And then there's some things that you just know that you would never break somebody's confidence, and you'd never bring it public. But you get that kind of insight when you're hanging around and when you're developing those relationships. And that's been, you know, that's been really fun for me to kind of work on those and develop those relationships.
Well, of course, let's get into some of the things you've seen this year, because we're now 7 weeks into the season. The NFC right now is kind of in turmoil because it's hard to figure out who are the best teams. Green Bay, of course, looked to be doing that, going through the tough early part of the schedule. But now they come out of it without their quarterback, without Aaron Rodgers. I mean, who is the best team in the NFC right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. We all thought that was going to be Atlanta when they were 3-0, and they've dropped three straight games. But I think you can say this about the NFC. I think you can say it about the AFC as well. I mean, there's really no telling. You know, you look at where you're at in Seattle right now, and I know it hasn't been pretty. Coming off their bye week, they're sitting at 3-2 right now. They haven't had great offensive production. You know, that's been a team, though, you think is going to get better. You think they're going to get healthy. You think that Tom Cable, their offensive line coach, is going to get them fixed up front. And you always wonder what's going to happen toward the end of the season. It's always the second half of the season where I think you see Seattle really shine. The team that I've been most impressed with, and I called one of their games early this season, is the Philadelphia Eagles. They have been outstanding. Carson Wentz looks to be the real deal. They were unbalanced a little bit at the first couple games of the season. They had thrown it 75% of the time, and I had a conversation with Doug Peterson, their head coach. I'm like, dude, if I was playing for you, you'd get an earful because that's baloney. And they have really done a much better job of involving all three of their running backs. They've run the ball with great efficiency. Carson Wentz has been tremendous on third downs, keeping plays alive. They're developing some chemistry with their wide receivers. He and Zach Ertz are, you know, I mean, they are tied together. Those two guys are on the same wavelength. So they've really developed a great relationship. He's got 34 catches for 405 yards right now. The guy has been pretty amazing to this point. And defensively, I think they're better than I think anybody could have anticipated. And they were decimated by injuries early in the season. And it was interesting because I talked to their defensive coordinator, Schwartz, and I was like, well, what's going on? He goes, hey, listen, man, we're so beat up, and we're going to play pretty, you know, we're going to play pretty generic. Like, if you can put it together for, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 plays in a row and score, then that's, you know, I mean, we'll tip our hats to you kind of thing, right? But he's like, we're going to get all our guys back. And then we're going to be a force. And you saw it last week. They got Fletcher Cox back after a couple of weeks, and he was dominant on the inside against the Panthers. They're going to get some of their DBs. They were decimated in the back end. They'll get those guys back healthy. I really think right now they're the best team in the NFC, and they might, frankly, be the best team in the league.
Interesting, because you can just see the improvement. Because I mean, last year, and I remember when I went to training camp, the Eagles. Because I even asked a couple of the beat writers, and they had a real down opinion. They said, as a 4 or 5 wins team, I said, you got to be kidding. You look at that front lineup, the starting lineup, and it's pretty good. Then they go out in the field, and you look and you go, oh my heavens, this team has no depth. There was hardly anything down. Now in this offseason, they've upgraded the receiver position, they've gone and upgraded the running back position, and they've added some better depth. I mean, it's still kind of thin. So as even Jim Schwartz was saying to you, he's like, a couple injuries here or there can knock you down and just kind of fight through. But no, I agree. I mean, they are an improved team, one that you have to kind of watch out for.
Yeah, for sure. And their quarterback is playing at a really high level, especially on third downs, because when I was calling the game, I was out there and I'm on the field Sunday morning talking to him as he's getting ready, you know, and we're just having a conversation. And that dude is legit 6'5", 245. And can run. I mean, he can move. You just don't expect that kind of athleticism from that size player. He's doing a good job protecting the ball. They're playing at a very high level, and they probably have the best offensive line in football, and they have the best tandem at the tackle position. Jason Peters, 14 years in the league, and is an absolute. I mean, he's an absolute freak show. And I said on the broadcast, that dude went to the University of Narnia because he is, I mean, he's just like none other. That guy, pound for pound, might be the best athlete on the planet. He's just ridiculous. And Lane Johnson, frankly, might be a better. I mean, he might be a better athlete over playing a right tackle. So incredible when you look at the athleticism, the strength, the sheer size, strength, quickness, agility ratio of those two players. They're as good as it gets in this league, and their offensive line playing great. Kelce obviously is unbelievable on the inside. His ability to get to the edge and pulling and setting edges, and they're really playing well up front too. So they look like a pretty complete team to me.
Do you have an adjustable rate mortgage that is about to increase? or first and second mortgage that you would like to combine into one. Low mortgage payment? Hey, give Keel Mortgage a call today. They are local, friendly, and have been serving families up and down the West Coast for over 3 decades. With interest rates forecasted to rise, the best time to explore your options is now. It starts with a phone call to 1-888-778-KIEL or online at keelmortgage.com. That's Keel Mortgage, 888-778-KIEL. They can help. CL53969. I tell you, it's amazing, though. It's like as you go around the league, are you really finding many teams that have good offensive lines? Because I cannot remember a time that I've seen worse play on the offensive lines and more teams. I would contend that two-thirds of the league right now, there's a big drop-off after like 10 teams, but two-thirds of the league do not have good offensive lines. Have you seen the same thing?
The play is really bad. And, you know, there's so many reasons for it because – you know, we could go through a litany of, you know, the college game doesn't produce offensive linemen, which is true, you know, that because of so much spread stuff. And we always talk about the quarterbacks, but it really, you're really not producing a lot of offensive linemen. You're not producing quarterbacks. You're not producing wide receivers. I mean, a lot of the wide receivers never run against anything other than their whole route tree is, hey, just find a hole in the zone because defenses can't switch anything up. They're in the same defense every single play. So you're not developing a lot of polished route runners. You're not developing a lot of offensive linemen or quarterbacks. There's a part of it. You know, it's the skill. It's a huge skill. You know, moving a man from point A to point B against his will is a ginormous skill. And it's a skill that needs to be worked on. And frankly, it needs to be worked on in pads to some degree. And you don't get to do that anymore in the NFL. So yeah, I'm with you 100%. The overall offensive line play in this league is pretty pathetic, but it'll continue to get better as they get more and more games under their belts and they get more and more practice under their belts and that's why a team like Seattle has a chance after week 8 or so to start making some moves in the NFC. So it'll be interesting to see how these teams develop over the long haul.
Yeah, because, other than, say, vast improvement with the Rams getting Andrew Whitworth and, to a certain degree, John Sullivan, two veterans, I see very few lines improve. For example, the Dallas Cowboys down two starters from last year, with Doug Free retiring and Ron Leary leaving, they're not as good blocking, and they were the best, I thought, last year. And Oakland is off to a slow start with their talented offensive line.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Dallas is perplexing. You know, I thought they should put Collins back in at guard, and then you just have one hole instead of having two holes because their left guard's been a problem, and Collins at right tackle, is learning how to play that position. So that's been, that's been an issue as well, as you mentioned. We talked about early, and it's just funny, we talked about, hey, how good the Carolina Panthers have been playing up front until they met the Philadelphia Eagles, and, the Panthers couldn't run for 2 yards. So it's just interesting. The whole thing is fairly interesting, and it does make it compelling. It's the way the league is designed. The league's designed for these major upsets and for teams. There's not a lot of separation of talent the way the league has been designed with free agency and everything else. It's not like one team is so much more talented. It's not like college football where you know Alabama is going to only be tested once this year or twice at best because they're just so much more talented than everybody else. That's not how the NFL is structured. It's not how it operates.
No, but so if you're a team, you know Tom Cable real well, and they've tried to get some more veterans in here, they've tried to develop some rookies. What advice do you have to try to get the line up to an adequate level?
Well, you're just going to have to keep working, and it's hard to work when you're never allowed to work in pads. And even when you're in pads, I think the league has just created, it's been more about, hey, we're going to look at these things visually on a grease board, and then we're going to go walk through things. And, the only way you figure out how to play the game is by playing the game. We can talk about theories all day long, but until you take the right steps or until you take the right set and it clicks and you're like, oh, that was perfect. All right, now I know when I get a really wide three technique, almost a four eye, you know, I can't upkick that because I get too turned on that. So I actually have to set off the ball. Like little things like that. It's the nuance of playing football. This is what you lose when you just walk through and things are more visual and you don't get to be on the field as much and you don't get to play in pads as much, is you lose the nuance. And now, instead of figuring out the nuance in practice, you got to figure it out in games. And what ends up happening to you is that you end up getting beat in a game, and you know it ultimately can either cost you games or put you in bad situations. And that's where you have to figure out nuance. And over the course of 8-9 weeks, you figure out enough nuance to develop into a better player or a better offensive line. But unfortunately, now instead of figuring that out in practice and alleviating a lot of those issues in practice, you're actually doing it in games. And so, you know, the teams that develop that way, you'll see at the end of the season, those teams will be playing at a really high level. And the teams that don't, you know, will continue to struggle.
What did you see of the Rams? How real are they as a threat in the NFC West?
Well, you look at the Rams. I mean, one, nine players on their 22-man roster, offensively and defensively, I'm talking about, first-round draft choices. And then you got a boatload of guys who are really good players, you know, that are second- or third-round draft choices. So you're talking about a boatload, I mean a boatload of talent. They have got a ton of talent, Johnny. They can run. They're physical. They're strong. They can do all those things. So talent is never going to be an issue for the Rams. That's just the way that is. What I have seen, and I've seen a young quarterback, be coached, and he's getting the ball out of his hand incredibly quickly. So he has been able to get that ball out on that first read. And what I've noticed about Jared Goff, it's he'll get it accurately with anticipation out of his hand, or he'll throw it to his check down. And one of the big things for the Jags were to change up coverages, give him different looks, and make him hold the ball a little bit, which he did in that win versus Jacksonville. Did not play as well in that win. But I see a guy that is developing and looks to be a guy that has a chance to be a really good quarterback in this league. The other thing I've seen is Sean McVay seems to be the real deal. I mean, talking to Sean McVay, you can't help but come away impressed. As soon as I got on the phone with Sean, I was like, oh, I see why they hired him. Like, I could just imagine how good that interview went. He is dynamic personality. He is sharp. He's articulate. He just speaks like he speaks football language. And it's not cliche stuff. It is like you just know how dialed in he is to both sides of the ball. And then it doesn't come off as arrogant. It comes off as confident. But it also comes off as authentic. Like he sat and told me, hey, the reason I go out and get a Wade Phillips is because I know I need smarter people than me to bounce things off. I need to put as many smart individuals on my staff as possible because I am learning. I am still learning. I'm learning this game every day. And the way he communicates to his players, the way he communicates to his coaching staff, you know, putting players, and I think it's the responsibility of any coach, and talking to Jared Goff about Sean McVay, he told me, man, the thing he does is he puts us in positions to win. He puts us in a position from an individual matchup. He accentuates the strengths, helps eliminate the weaknesses, and puts you in positions to win. Moving players around and asking players, you know, to do things that they're good at as opposed to putting them in situations to have failures. And that's what he has done. And, I mean, you just talk to anybody, whether they're on the staff or the players, how much respect they have for what Sean McVay has brought to that organization. So they certainly, it seems like they got the right guy leading that organization.
Any thoughts of the Arizona Cardinals, which is clearly a team that's been underachieving with a bad offensive line? They get Adrian Peterson. He comes up big for them last week. Can the Cardinals still be a threat?
You know, interestingly enough, if they fix that offense, and, you know, they were the worst offensive line in football. I mean, they were terrible. I think they got a couple of players back. Adrian Peterson, I was like, come on, really? I mean, is that going to be the difference? Because I was skeptical, man. Carson Palmer's looked old the last 2 years. You know, Adrian Peterson's been injured. He looks old. You know, at least he did in the couple of touches he got in New Orleans. And you know, there were a bunch of teams that took a look, you know, kicked the tires, and they looked at the film. And, you know, they all passed except Arizona, the desperate team. And so you thought, oh, really? I mean, I thought, come on, this is, you know, trying to win the 2009 NFC Championship? Give me a break. And then he goes out and does what he does. I mean, that was impressive. I guess, you know, lesson learned, don't ever bet against Adrian Peterson because the guy's a freak show. But, yeah, you look at their defense. I mean, Johnny, you've covered this team. Defensively, man, they're aggressive. They'll blitz you. They'll get after you. They play a boatload of man coverage. They can create turnovers. If you can possess the ball, man, they're a tough team to play against. If your offense can be, you know, can be even a little bit of what it was 2 years ago, yeah, this team is sitting at 3-3 right now. Could they turn the page? Could they? Yeah, absolutely they can. If, you know, they can protect Carson Palmer with that running game, if that offensive line can develop, you know, if they can stay healthy on the outside, I certainly think in the NFC they could be a threat.
Mark, it's always great catching up with you. I'm glad things are working out, and it's great to have you calling games.
No, it's my pleasure, Johnny. Always great to catch up, buddy.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.